John 12, verses 12 to 19. You can find it in the Bible, page 1079. The triumphal entry. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. Thanks. So you might like to, if you've got the Bible, you might like to keep it open in front of you just for the next few moments. Did you spot in today's reading, it is all about a hero? It's all about a hero. And there are two really big clues to that in what happened on that first Palm Sunday. The first was this, of course. The crowds came with their palm branches waving. But I've got a question for you. What is it with palms? What are palms meant to say? What is it about waving palms that was so important, that tells us so much? Anybody like to hazard a guess on that? Why palms? Why were they waving them? Why did that matter? Let me give you another clue. I want you to imagine for a moment, you go and visit Bramall Lane. Small cheer, please. Yeah, oh, there are a few. There we go. And at a particular time in the match, people start doing this and singing and waving their scarves. What do you think might have happened at Bramall Lane if they're getting a little bit high like that? Any ideas what might be going on? Yeah, it could be a score or even a victory. I mean, it has been known. But they wave scarves. They, in fact, pretty much anything, because you want to sing, you want to celebrate, and you're kind of showing that you found your heroes, your winners. They're the champions, the winners you've been looking for. And so, in Jesus' day, we know this because about 180 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem, another great Jewish soldier called Simon Maccabeus had booted out the Jewish enemies. He'd cleared Jerusalem of their enemies and set them free. And you know what the crowds did? They went out singing and waving palm branches because he was the hero they thought they needed. A great hero. And on Palm Sunday, we are being told Jesus is the hero we need. That's what it's all about. Did you see why? Just have a look down at verse 17. We find out now why the crowds are gathered. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Well, they would, wouldn't they? Imagine it happening. Jesus is there, a tomb has been sealed up, and Jesus calls out, and out comes the dead man. That would cause a crowd, wouldn't it? That would cause a stir. And they'd got the message. Jesus was the kind of hero who brings life to the dead. Jesus saves lives in the most extraordinary way. And friends, we know they got it right, don't we? As we look back on it, Jesus really is the hero who brings life. He brings life now. Changes things for us now, a whole new quality, abundant life, Jesus called it. And of course, the wonderful hope that one day, life after death, eternal life, with the Lord and with those we love. He's the hero we need, and he brings life. Do you know, this makes such a difference, doesn't it? I was just listening, it was only this week actually on the telly, heard about somebody who really was gripped by. It's quite a few years ago now, but a Welsh football international called Albert Lockley. He had been a coal miner in Wales, and he found he had a bit of a gift, kicking a piece of leather around a pitch. But he was brilliant at it, and he played for the Welsh national team. But in the days when he was kind of a young man still playing, a bit of a revival swept across those part of Wales. Some of you may have heard of that. And Albert met Jesus for the first time. He started following him. And he thought, well, football's great, but you know, Jesus is better still. And in fact, for a while, he even gave up his international career. Not many people would do that, eh? And he wasn't saying football's rubbish, he was just saying Jesus is better. Because Jesus is the hero I really need in my life. Now, friends, don't mishear me. I'm not saying if you follow Jesus, you give up football. That's not the message here. But the message is Jesus is better. Have you found that yet, friends? We have so many heroes in our lives, don't we? We make heroes of our spouses sometimes, or our kids, or our friends, really close friends. Sometimes we make heroes of our career, or maybe our lifestyle, or all number of things. But Palm Sunday tells us they all pale into its significance because Jesus is the real hero who saves lives, saves our life now and to come. He is the wonderful hero we really need. So can I just ask you this Palm Sunday, who's your hero? Who's your ultimate hero? And would we know it perhaps by the way you talk, the way you use your time, the way we spend our treasure, what our thoughts are? Would we know it perhaps by where we go in times of trouble? That's a key one, isn't it? Is Jesus the hero for you even then? Because Palm Sunday tells us he is the hero. He's the hero we really need. So there's clue number one. We've seen the palms. But there's another clue in what happened on Palm Sunday. So the crowds grabbed their palms and started waving them. Great heroes here. But what did Jesus do on Palm Sunday? This is not a trick question. It's a dead easy one. Anyone like to hazard a guess? Sorry? He got on a donkey. Absolutely. Think about the donkey. Think, isn't this a fine donkey? Thank you, Cubby. It's a fine donkey. But just think about it for a minute as a way of transport, okay? Think of the donkey as a mode of transport. I don't know if anybody's ever ridden on one. It's a bit scary, isn't it? But they're very ordinary, simple beasts, aren't they? And so I want you to think, let's update this to 2024. Let's say a great hero, a great military campaigner has won fabulously and is coming to liberate a town. We've seen this happen on our TV screens, haven't we, and on the internet. We know what that looks like. Somebody rides in on what? They ride in on a tank, don't they? It's a battle tank with a turret, you know. We're winning around here. We've got the power. We're the ones who are going to rule from now on. And you get that, don't you? And it was the same in Jesus' day, you know. Donkeys weren't the only means of transport. They had war horses, remember? And they had great chariots that Roman generals would ride. And isn't it striking that when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he's not on a war horse ready for war. He's on a simple, ordinary, little humble creature, a donkey. You don't go to war on a donkey, do you? Jesus comes small and ordinary and peaceful. That's interesting. This is a strange kind of hero, isn't it? But that was Jesus, wasn't it? Do you remember a few weeks back we did the feeding of the 5,000? Do you remember what happened? They got really excited. They thought, this is the powerful hero we need. And what did they try and do? They tried to force him to be king. And what did Jesus do? He went away, didn't he? Not that kind of king. Not the king you expect. Not the hero we expect. And of course, there's one other clue in this reading today, that Jesus is not the hero we'd expect. And it was there towards the end in verse 16. Let me just read it to you again. At first, his disciples didn't understand all the things that were going on Palm Sunday. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things had been written. Now, this might be a bit tricky, this one, but have a think on this, because we have covered this, I think, in our sermons so far. In John's Gospel, do you remember what was Jesus' real glory moment? When he was really glorified? The one time it's moving towards in John's Gospel, where suddenly we see the glory of God, the love, the perfection, the beauty, the glory of God in one place in John's Gospel. Anybody got an idea what that might be? It was a particular event.
The wedding at Cana.
Wedding at Cana. Actually, that's a good point. Glory was seen there, but there's one even greater moment of glory. No. Just listen on in chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man," that's me, "to be glorified." So let's listen. What is this hour? "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed." Do you hear the little word picture? Jesus saying, "I'm about to go to the cross." If you want to see the glory of God, you want to see real power, real love, real perfection, then look as I die. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Who would expect a hero like that, that comes to die? He doesn't come to squash his enemies. He comes to be sacrificed. He doesn't come, as it were, grand and special, but so ordinary. He doesn't come looking strong. He comes looking weak. So he's the hero, yes, he's the hero we need, but not at all the hero we'd expect. But that is so important. I'd like to show you one more hero of mine, if we can have one more children's story. I'd like you to look at this and see if you know who this is.
Frodo.
It is indeed Frodo Baggins. Let's see if we can pop him there. There he is, little Frodo. I don't think he's going to stand still. I think I'll leave him there. There we go. Just think for a moment. If you know at all the story of The Lord of the Rings, you will know that in that story there's some very powerful characters. So there's some amazing wizards. Do you remember Gandalf, the good wizard? And then there's the terrible, menacing, awful wizard called Sauron, the great enemy. So you've got folks like that. Then in the story of The Lord of the Rings, you've got all kinds of other kings and warriors, haven't you? Like Aragorn and Boromir, who are strong and brave. And then there are quite frightening creatures. If you've seen the films or the books, the wargs, these great horrible wolves that come chasing after them. And there's some powerful creatures. There are dragons, there are trolls, there are elves, so many other characters. But ask yourself this, who is it that beats the evil? Who is it who triumphs over the awful power of the enemy? It's this little guy. It's the hobbits, a small, peaceful creature. A small, peaceful creature who's extraordinary because he gives up so much, doesn't he? He gives up the comfort of the lovely Shire and home. He goes on a long and dangerous journey. There he's pursued and attacked and hunted down by people who want to kill him. And he is hurt and he is wounded. But eventually, he's the hero, isn't he? Friends, does that ring any bells, that story, about the humble, weak, insignificant, different kind of hero? And here's the thing. When you've got a hero like that, totally unexpected, that's the hero you can trust, isn't it? The powerful ones so often let you down, but this one, think of it, Gandalf gives him the job, the heroic job, because he knows he can trust the little one. Then think perhaps of Sam, his friend, and how others, they don't run away from a hobbit, you run towards, there's something inviting, because in their smallness, in their ordinariness, in their weakness, something draws you to them. Because actually, you know this one's on your side. They're ready to sacrifice everything for you. Now again, who does that remind you of, friends? Palm Sunday. Just think of the two clues in Palm Sunday. The palms speak of the hero we need. More than anything else, yes, lots of good gifts we have in God's that God has given us, but have we got the main gift, the hero we need more than any other, the Lord Jesus? Is he your hero today? And then if he is your hero, what about the fact that he's not the hero you'd expect? But you can trust him. Oh, you can trust him. And isn't that important? Because sometimes if we follow a king we don't expect, his kingdom doesn't always work out the way we'd expect either, does it? The way of the cross for Jesus sometimes becomes the way of the cross for us. When we're going through things that are difficult and hard, and we might start thinking, can I still trust Jesus? And then we need to remember the king on the donkey, the hero on the cross. You might like to think in a much lesser way of little Frodo Baggins. When it's tough, when it's painful, he is the hero we need, and he is the hero we can trust. Why don't we pray we might do that this week? Let's pray. Oh, our Father God, on this Palm Sunday in an uncertain world, where we know our own frailty and the frailty of peace and of human life, how we praise you for the hero we need in Jesus. Lord, we ask that this week he would be our hero, the one we love and serve and run to in every time of trouble. And Lord, some of us are finding things hard at the moment. Things perplex us and hurt us, and we wonder, this isn't the kingdom we expected. Lord, thank you for this reminder that our King is not the one we'd expect. He's so much better. His glory is seen in a place of weakness and great love, in the one who doesn't squash his enemies but sacrifices for them. Oh, dear Lord, this week, help us to trust you, because you are such a wonderful, wonderful hero, even when you do things we don't expect. Thank you, Lord. Amen.